Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're tuning in, it's the weekend. Put your feet on the floor, get up, and get outside and enjoy a little bit of this crisp, wonderful fall weather that we're experiencing. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. If you want to keep in touch with us while you're listening along here and do a little research, you can go to thegrillingguys.com and check us out, or you can check us out on Facebook. Post some pictures if you have any good pictures of what you're throwing on your grill, smoker, deep fryer, or maybe your campfire.
Send us a picture of that big buck you shot, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then send it down to Alan Bob's, too, because you're going to win prizes there. All we're going to do is talk about it.
That's right. Hey, I wanted to mention also, Garrett's has a cooking class Tuesday night. If you want to learn some Vietnamese cooking, you should check out Garrett's Appliances. There's a couple seats left. I just got an email. But this cool weather is so perfect that I'm finally thinking deer season is here. Right. I haven't really had time or energy or temperature control to feel like it's time to get into the hunting season. But Saturday, I'm away back, or Sunday, I guess, I'm away back from a wedding up north. I stopped into the deer camp at Whipple. And boy, if you want to get your juices flowing, just go to your hunting area and start checking out what's going on there, because we kicked up deer. There were bald eagles, all kinds of tracks all over, no scrapes or rubs, tons of acorns. And so I just kind of fluffed up my blinds a little bit, you know, and checked things out. I put a little corn down, some apples.
You're the fluffer.
And it's just exciting. Going to get another trip up there before I actually go for the week-long hunt, but you got to cut some firewood, because what you don't want to do, although I don't know, I don't think a chainsaw scares deer away anyway. They don't mind.
They kind of grew up
machinery
around them in most places. Yeah.
As long as you're not cutting up their brother or something, they're probably okay with it.
Speaking of cutting up their brother, this last weekend, got another guy that got an early deer, and when you're rolling into places and you're, you know, supposedly know how to grill some stuff, this guy comes out with this boneless neck roast, right? And he's like, what should I do with this? Well, I gave him the instructions. I didn't do it, but because this involves a marinade. The neck roast is again, a little bit more of a dense meat. That neck is a used muscle. A
lot of silver skin.
There's a lot of silver skin in there. You got to debone it around the vertebrae and things. So, but anyway, he's got this neck roast. It's about 3 pounds.
Let me ask you, did the butcher debone it for you?
No, he was just asking me. He had it there, and he had done it, I think. I was with.
Oh.
So he comes up to me. He says, what can I do with a neck roast? And my mind went immediately to rotisserie, right? Because you want to cook that slow. It's a little bit more of a stringier meat, and it's not necessarily as tender, because it's, again, one of those muscles in the animal that's used all day, every day. So what I told him to do, when I think venison, I always go to a fruit for a marinade, because it imparts a great flavor. It just seems like the fall to use apple juice. So we used a couple cups of cider, and then I always put in like in a half a cup of apple vinegar, just to give it a little bit of tang, and that acidic kind of drives that down in there.
So somebody cooked this?
No, they're going to cook it.
Oh.
He asked me for what the recipe was. So then in addition to the cider, I got a couple cups of cider, a half a cup of vinegar, some Worcestershire, and I like a little ginger in there. That just is a great fall flavor. Then I told him to dice up a couple apples. And I want to put all of this, and maybe even some onion, a chopped up onion, put all of this in a solution in the bottom of the pan, set the roast in there, and then fill it with water, let it marinate for 10 or 11 hours. Then he's going to take it off, put it on his rotisserie, get that thing to about 160 degrees on the internal temperature.
So do you know what his grill is?
Yeah, he said he had a charcoal grill and he had a rotisserie on it. He specifically wanted a rotisserie recipe.
Okay.
So we're going to put a pan under it to catch what little drippings. Again, that venison is lean, but so we can baste it. And again, just an idea for you to go out and put a little bit of moisture into that really lean meat, cook it slow, catch the drippings so you can rebaste it with the drippings.
So let me ask you, do you know if this grill with a rotisserie has the ability to close the lid?
It did not have the ability to close
the lid. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem for him.
Right. Well, it's going to take a little bit more heat and a little bit more time. Because if you can get the lid, you get the convective heat, right? And it allows it to cook more even and quicker.
But with the pan under it, maybe he can put the rest of the marinade in the pan. Yep. So that can help hydrate the meat while he uses the rotisserie.
Get almost a little steam effect.
Yeah, because if he's doing open lid, that might help him.
Right.
Versus open carry.
Right. Well, we got a little of that, too. That helps a lot of people. But anyway, that was an idea to do that neck roast on that venison is get that apple flavor imparted on it. You can put dry rub seasonings on the outside, too, if you are so inclined.
But I thought this was all leading up to the fact that you were going to loan him my Epicoa.
No. I don't loan out your stuff. I borrow your stuff and use it. I don't loan
You've
it out.
You've got all my stuff now. Right, I've got nothing left even. You can't even borrow it.
I don't even think
you can't even borrow anything.
I haven't seen the Epicoa.
You have everything.
In years. Yeah, I haven't seen the Epicoa in years.
I'm down to like what? Maybe a grill.
Oh, cry me a river, new smoker boy. Yeah, who just came back from Kansas towing a new smoker?
Well,
that was you.
Oh, well, it's a good thing because, I mean, you've got everything else I own.
I understand. I'm nothing but your leftovers. I'll take your hand-me-downs. And I clean them and they work again.
When I left the house this morning, my daughter Maggie was getting ready to go to work, and she had my Sterling, my Tech dual burner, fired up. She had chicken breasts on there. She was cooking for all the girls at work. And
how'd she do?
They looked beautiful, and I was so proud of her. It's like she didn't even ask me how to light it or anything. I mean, the cool thing is I got to give my kids a lot of credit. They really do pick up a lot of cooking tips, and they're always watching and studying my wife or myself on this or that. My wife's a great baker, and I like to grill, so they're all pretty adept in the kitchen. And she was just out on the deck, as cold as it was. She had her coat and her boots on, and she's got the lid shut. And she asked me what temperature to bring these breasts to. They were skinless, boneless, but give her credit for that. That was pretty cool. That's heartwarming to see her kids at the grill.
Yeah. Absolutely. Unsolicited, too. She just said, I can do this for my girlfriends, right?
Well, that was the beauty of it. She didn't say, hey, Dad, would you go cook these for me?
Right.
So we have some cool stuff coming up, Jop. Because it is campfire time, I think the best fall campfire food is in order. And it's hard to think about a campfire without talking to the people at Lodge. So we have Mark Kelly from Lodge coming on in the next segment. And, of course, I'm going down to New Orleans pretty soon, and I'm going to Louisiana to Lafayette to see my buddy T-Gid. So I thought it would be appropriate to get him on for some campfire food, because we usually talk with him about basic Cajun stuff, but he's got a lot of experience in the woods and on the ponds.
Those guys are big duck hunters down
there.
He
is.
Yeah.
He is. Yep, so absolutely. So his daddy has, and his daddy was quite a guy, but he's got a duck camp chili that T-Gid actually took second place in the chili cook-off with, and he's got a really funny story about his chili cook-off because, like, his brother just signed him up without asking him, and,
Kind of I did with you, the one we got coming up in December. I'm going to jump in before I get thrown under that bus. I'll just jump
the
out.
The story was so similar. We laughed so long yesterday when he told me.
Well, we got that coming up again the first weekend in December. We're going to go try to win back our crown. We won first year, second year of the event. We took second. So this is redemption year for us.
We're going to be paired up with Gravel Bottom. So that'll be fun.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Check us out on thegrillingguys.com. Follow Barbecue Bob on the Twitter. And just connect with us. Send us the pictures of your big buck. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.